This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. And then Dr. Leslie Villian with Healthy Rounds. But feel free to get online, 860-522-9842 is the number, and we'll help you out. Let's get right to your calls. We're going to go down to Wilmington, North Carolina, and see what Zig's got going on. What's happening, Zig?
Hey, I listened to you guys on a SanDisk.
Yeah.
Since about 1997, which just downloaded your program on an MP3 player.
Yeah, the old days, man.
Yeah, the old days. Can you still download your program to a MP3 file and someplace? Because I looked at this thing. Odyssey keeps getting involved, and it appears to me that it wants to just download the link, and I need to stay within internet.
Yeah,
that way.
Yeah. So the old days of MP3s did not have any commercials. And so podcasting has become so big because you can be down in Wilmington, North Carolina, listening to our show on a podcasting tool, whether it be Odyssey's tool or anywhere you get your podcasts, and actually local ads can be run in those periods, making our program valuable to whoever is listening to it in those areas. So they get their commercial message out, you get our show, and it's a win-win scenario. No, our program is not downloadable as a separate MP3. Like it might have been in the old days. You have to be part of through the podcasting system. Now, Odyssey, you can use the Odyssey app, but the Odyssey app right now is kind of broken and showing missing days. So they're working on fixing that. But
I see our 413
is showing up now.
It's showing up.
All right,
here.
So it's got fixed. So you can subscribe to the Odyssey app for free and listen to our shows that way, but they're going to inject Wilmington, North Carolina ads in our program.
Yeah, but I still would need to be, I used to use it cutting the grass or I used to use it running. So I wasn't always within an internet connection, and it was an actual MP3 file. So I think you're telling me though that now I need to.
I think you can download the shows and have them on your local device.
Well, if he had an iPod, he could hook it up to his computer.
Refresh.
He could sign up for the podcast on his computer.
Yeah,
and it will download those podcasts to the iPod
locally.
And then play it off of that. Now, I don't know what kind of MP3 player he's got, but maybe it has some kind of syncing mechanism like that.
Yeah.
And you might have to use a different podcast service, not Apple's, but maybe somebody else's.
Right, if you don't have an Apple.
Yeah, okay. Well, SanDisk came out a couple of years after you guys did. It's about the size of two postage stamps, so it's pretty convenient for walking or running.
I love that. You're running on something that old to listen to our show digitally like that while you're cutting the grass is too cool.
Oh, hey, what's in my car? I have an iPod Classic from 2007.
Wow.
Because there is literally nothing better to just play music.
Good point.
That's all it does, and it does it better than anything.
Yep.
Exactly. I got hundreds of songs on there. And it's $29.95. I thought it was broken, and I bought another one, but I revived the old one because I just had a finger that was too itchy that pushed some wrong buttons. So now I've got two of these things. So
nice.
They're looking fine. They were $29 when I bought it, and it's still $29.
That's awesome. Zig, that's great.
Quick another question. Yeah. Right now I'm listening to you on radio.net.
Wow. All right.
Is that the way you would recommend, or should I be doing something different?
Radio.net. That's an old way to do it, but it's still out there, huh? I don't know. I mean, the way people get our content is different for everybody. People are listening to us through the Facebook Live broadcast. They're doing it through Odyssey's app. Because you can do it through the app. You can and listen to us that way. I guess the best way to do it is that whatever works.
Okay. All right. And I don't know anything about VPNs, but I'd like to just mention something. I was listening to that woman, Nancy.
Yeah.
And the last thing she said was that they send her back a letter that says she is on the fastest connection possible.
Mm-hmm.
So would that be why it would be shifted to a different country?
Well, the way the software works, when you're picking a VPN, there's a button you can pick to select the quick profile.
Right.
When you click that, it just looks for the quickest available connection that it can get you at that moment.
The least subscribed server.
Right. The one with, it's got the most available slots.
Yeah.
And that can sometimes be in, you know, the Netherlands, Japan, or even Korea or some other countries.
Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
And this is, if I heard her correctly, that's exactly what she said when she got a text message back from those people. Her last comment from that was that the text message said that she was connected to the quickest connection possible, or something to that.
Right, and that actually equates to her account, though, because both Dennis and I, and even Mike, who was part of this program, all use the paid service and have access to hundreds of choices that are not just what she was talking about. And some of the Reddits that I came across were talking about three popular countries being U.S., Netherlands, and Japan. Now, she didn't say the U.S., which was weird, because all the Reddits talked about U.S., Netherlands, and Japan. And that's based on the fact that you're not paying for the VPN. So I think her account is screwed up in that somehow they don't have her as the proper level of account. So she gets access to what she was. But I've never had this issue ever. So
okay. Thanks for bearing with me. Good job, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, Zig. How big is the lawn you're mowing?
Oh, that was in the old days, back in Wilbraham, Mass. And since then, I listened to you in Leland, North Carolina. Golf course, old age community, and now I'm in a CCRC, continuing care place. And so now it's just out there when I go out and walk or run.
Nice. But you've been listening to us since 97.
Pretty much so. You used to be on with Bob Brinker. Not with him, but I know Garden Talk, but WTEC used to have Bob Brinker on there.
Yes. Years. Yep. I remember.
And, it was pretty much back then. Yeah, you've gone through all of the things with your kids growing up. I know that there was Watchdog you were talking about, or some kind of dog that you had.
Right.
That was a program to keep them out of trouble.
Yeah, a web defense technology. We moved that over. We moved from that over to OpenDNS. So yeah, you've been with us for a long time, Zig.
And then the latest one you had was he gets pretty fast with his fingers and pushes a button, without reading all of the
fine print,
the conditions behind what's going on. Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
we appreciate you being there for us.
Okay. Well, good job. I appreciate you hanging in there.
All right, Zig. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye-bye. We've been doing this for so long. It's amazing. So we do actually talk about our kids and our cats occasionally, I guess. What can I say? I do have to tell you why we're in West Hartford. So before we go to a break, something's going on with the economy, and I'm telling you, it's really bad news. So along with my wife using her elbow to go ahead and push the crossing guard button, which I'm like, honey, that's not going to work. We go to this restaurant in West Hartford, beautiful restaurant, great friends. We're sitting down there having dinner, and I'm just wondering when the bread's coming out. You know, usually you get bread with your dinner, right? I mean, come on. Do they serve bread here or what? Is basically what I ask all the time. And the waitress comes back after we have had a few drinks now. And usually you need the bread to soak up some of the thumps you drank, right?
Right. That's the idea.
It's a public service, really. And she's like, no, didn't you notice it's part of the starter's menu? So you have your appetizer is on the menu as bread. You know we're in trouble when that's where we're at. I mean, I know we can't afford meat anymore and milk anymore and eggs anymore, but now the restaurants can't even afford to serve you bread as long as it's part of the appetizer menu. And guess what? It's a booth for four, but guess how many pieces of bread come in the appetizer? Three.
Oh, that's a miss.
We're in big trouble, people, when that's where we're at. But it was be a great dinner. and a great time, but that just shocked me. I mean, bread? Come on, man. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And a couple lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Let's get right to your calls. And Randy's got an issue, it looks like. What's happening, Randy?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Hey, not that good.
Uh-oh.
Listen, I had an issue with my bank. I had a money withdrawn from my account, and under the guise of Discover. Now, in the past, I've used Discover to pay my Discover card bill, and they've taken it out electronically, mm-hmm. right? And they had the account on file.
Yep.
Right. Well, now I happened to just look at my account the other day, and from the bank, and they took out like $2,500.
Mm. Who's they? Discover did?
Well, Discover. I called Discover, and yeah. Discover claimed that they have no such record of it because I don't have a Discover savings account, checking account, or any other account. I just have the Discover card.
Yep.
So I was just trying to find out, is there some way that I could backtrack this? Because obviously somebody has hijacked my account information.
I would agree. Somebody possibly has access to your bank account. Your bank should be able to tell you this and should be able – it's FDIC insured. They should be able to protect that.
Well, that transaction probably went through an automated clearinghouse.
Right.
And it can be backtracked, but you'd have to start with your own bank mm-hmm. and have them research it for you.
Okay.
And I can't speak for how willing they may be to do the work involved. But they do have ways to backtrack that money, and they will know exactly what institution ended up getting it.
Right, which account did. It looks like Discover got it, but not his account because it's not.
Well, it should also have an account identifier with it, yeah. All of that will be part of that tracking data that carries it through the account, the ACH system.
Now, if you are pretty sure this didn't happen... this happened without your authorization, you need to make sure you start changing some passwords, right?
Yeah.
You need to turn on two-factor authentication and make sure you pay attention to where the second factor is configured, because if it's configured for a bad guy already, they've already done some mm-hmm. stuff. So go and talk with your bank. They would have a fraud department. And the other thing that I've found is there's a limit. There's not a statute of limitations, but there's a limit to how long banks will deal with these issues. Like if it's been 3 or 4 months or five, I'm not sure what the limit is. They're like, it's too late. So that's why you got to pay attention to your statements.
Yeah. And Mike G is wondering if maybe there was some kind of a phishing event. Were you ever asked for your bank credentials? Like in an email that you were sent or a text? Or did somebody call you on the phone about it?
No.
Anything like that?
Nothing like that. No.
Okay.
So, The only other thing is, I was just wondering, can you shut down any transactions that would come through electronically from the bank, or would that have to happen from the bank?
It would have to happen from your institution, the bank. And I suspect you could shut down all transactions because there's so much fraud going on. They probably have the ability to do that. You also have to worry about insider issues with banks. This is not something that's a new thing. Even internal banking people tend to move money around. That just happens. So you want to report this as soon as you can. Like, get off the phone with us and report it if you haven't done it already.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And I would tell you, consider getting a high-yield savings account over at Discover. Because they're going to pay you a whole lot more interest than your current institution is.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But not that I'm a financial planner.
Yeah. The issue with me is just I wanted to, I put my investigator hat back on and let's backtrack and find out who's doing this because it's certainly illegal.
Yes.
And, want to warn other folks. You know, this is like a credit union that this is happening to.
Mm-hmm.
So
it can happen anywhere. Yeah. If somebody figured out your credentials, let's say for some crazy reason you used the same password on your bank account that you used on something else that was breached, and they tried to log in as Randy at whatever bank, and then all of a sudden they put that password in, and it was like, oh, it worked. That could be an issue. And if you don't have two-factor authentication turned on and you didn't get a text, you know, then you wouldn't even know if the bad guys are in there. So do you have two-factor authentication configured for your bank account?
I think I only see it on like one account, and that's matter of fact, that might come up on my phone, but not necessarily on my computer.
Right. You could have told your computer to be a trusted source, which I actually contend is a bad idea.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do that, you may as well not have two-factor, to be honest with you.
Because if your computer's compromised, the bad guys don't need to worry about – they can get through that way if they've gotten into your system. So,
yeah. But, because it's very seldom I use my computer to, electronically pay anything.
Right.
I'm usually on the phone and telling them, hey, pay this amount to the credit card. So I'm just thinking, did somebody hijack the credit card information?
Mm-mm. Right. I think it's on the other side.
Yeah.
I think it just happens to be somebody using a Discover Bank who's gotten access to transfer that money out to that account. So you just got to have the bank track that down and get your money back, turn on two-factor authentication.
Yeah. Well, very good. Hey, guys, thanks a lot for your help.
Our pleasure, Randy, and good luck. Let us know how it goes.
Yeah. Okay, will do.
All right, good.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. It's kind of a creepy feeling if you look at your statement. You're like, what is this? What happened here? You got to keep the – now, again, if it's an inside job, there would not be a two-factor authentication impacting you because they have access to your account.
Right. That wouldn't help you at all.
Nothing we can do there. Let's go to Newington and Bob. What's happening, Bob? Oh, we got...
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Bob. I shouldn't have taken your call. Can I put you back on hold until the news? I'm sorry.
Sure, go right ahead.
It was a talk radio faux pas, as it were. So we'll put you on hold again and get back to Bob after the news. And everything we've talked about so far, posted over at computertalkwithtab.com. And Mike G has feverishly posted it over to our Facebook and our LinkedIn. I'm sorry, and our X account, not LinkedIn. What am I talking about? If you follow us on X at Tab Computer Sys, it'll get into your news feed. And Dennis has posted it over at computertalkwithtab.com. We'll be right back. We're going to get right to our call there with Bob because I kind of tricked him a little bit there. Sorry, Bob. I don't know what I was thinking after the break there. What can I do for you?
That's all right. My cousin is planning on getting a cell phone and an iPad.
All right.
Both Apple. And she asked me the question whether she needed to have internet in the house in order to use them. And with a data plan, can you use it without having a computer in your house?
A data plan on your cell phone?
Yes.
You can.
So you could be in your house using the internet.
Yep.
With the data plan on a phone without having an internet hookup.
Correct.
In the house.
Yep. You would turn on the hotspot on your cell phone if your cell phone is capable of putting out a hotspot.
Okay.
And then she
could
connect.
Simple enough.
Yeah. You know what a hotspot is then?
Yeah. If you go to Starbucks or.
Nope. The phone itself has the ability to put out Wi-Fi signal as a hotspot. It can be the hotspot. So she can be in her home using her cell phone, and then she can put the cell phone down, turn on the hotspot, and then pick up her iPad. Like you had mentioned, an iPad. The iPad then can connect to the phone, for the internet.
Okay, so she can get the hotspot on the iPad also if she didn't want to do that.
She would have to pay for a second cellular service, and you don't want to do that. You only want to pay for one service, right?
Gotcha. Okay, so you have your have the cell phone with you when you're using the iPad.
Correct.
And by
turning on the hotspot. You log in. You could actually have your own SSID, right? And I like to use, you know, FBI van 45623. So that no matter where you are, somebody thinks there's an FBI van nearby. I don't know. It's my own silly little thing. And then she can connect to it and go ahead and surf on that. But make sure she's got an unlimited, quote unquote, unlimited data plan.
Yeah. Whether or not she can use the hotspot feature depends on the carrier plan she has with the iPhone.
Right. And unlimited is not always unlimited. You could find that eventually you get throttled. So if you use too much data, so keep that in mind too. But yes, that's how you could do internet surfing and all that fun stuff inside your own home with just the one service rather than something else.
Great. Well, you answered my question.
All right, Bob. All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Have a good day.
You
bye
too.
Now.
Bye-bye. Yeah. But don't need to keep paying for all these services. So, all right. So we're here till 11, four lines wide open. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And we'll do our best to help you out with your comments, questions, and concerns. Do you have any concern, Dennis, you want to talk about as far as in the news?
Yeah. This week there was a massive 911 outage in a number of states.
Yeah, I did see that.
And yeah, I heard about it, and then I was following the story, and I'm looking for the explanation. Was it a cyber attack? Was it this? What is it that?
Right, right.
And obviously, there had to be something in common with all of these states' emergency services, too.
Yeah, it was like five or six states, right?
Yeah, so it would have to have been some kind of a contractor or some other service that they all have in common.
Yeah.
Well, it turns out that it is a contractor that provided emergency services, and it's called Lumen, L-U-M-E-N.
Lumen?
Yes.
Now, isn't that a big internet provider? Or is that some other Lumen? But go ahead.
Are you thinking of Lucent?
Well, no, I see Lumen. No. Now Lumen. Oh, but go ahead.
At any rate, and at long last, they finally explained what had happened.
Yeah.
There was a fiber cut because a light pole was replaced on some street.
So, yeah, Lumen Technologies, they're a fiber service. So it could be that that is the carrier?
Oh, they're the carrier that was used by the service that was, okay, this makes sense now.
Yeah. Now, here's a snag, right? One light post can take out multiple states' 911 services?
Do you remember maybe about 10 years ago?
I can't remember yesterday, but go ahead.
Level 3.
Yeah.
The massive internet backbone company
that
no one ever knows about but is carrying your traffic.
Right.
They were completely shut down because of a fiber cut in Denver.
One cut.
And it took them, I think, a day or two to get it restored. That was a massive problem. And it affected almost everything on the internet within the United States.
Yeah, I mean, CNN has this article I just popped across. You know, one light pole takes out multiple states. So clearly, again, we're in the IT world, right? We're in the IT business. You want to build resilient networks, right? One light pole is going to take down multiple states' internet service. Who designed that? That doesn't seem like a good idea. You would think there'd be some sort of failover from your main one connection to some other connection to an offer service.
You would think there should be that, but somebody didn't put that together.
Right. So this is still the craziness that goes on. It's like, how many light poles are we away from like internet darkness, right? How many ding dongs are going to be out there digging a hole and bring down, you know, massive services that we rely upon because we assumed it was configured correctly? I feel for Lumen, right? I feel somebody dug a hole and didn't do the call before you dig, right?
Right.
You know? But still, your service should go out not just one way. You know, it should be going out multiple ways. You should have redundancies. You should have contingencies in place. And again, Dennis and I'll speak for myself, we're not the sharpest tools in the shed, but you would think we would have designed a system that, especially as important as 911,
Well,
to work
absolutely.
That way. And that's just the connectivity. There's now issue. We've also seen issues with 911 service going out for other reasons, because the technology and the software and all that stuff is impacted too, because of the data center issues or what have you. One data center goes down and somebody's 911 service goes out. Now, we won't talk about the fact that we don't have enough cops to respond to the 911 calls. That's a whole other issue, and that's we'll let the politicians deal with that. But this is ridiculous, you know? But there's no regulatory requirement. I would think there must be some sort of agency. I mean, you'd think CISA in this case would step in and say, hey, guys, what were you thinking?
Oh, I'm sure they are.
You're sure
at this
they are?
Point,
I don't know that I would be sure they are. I would think they are.
I would think that they have drafted a report about this outage already.
You think so?
I think right. they have.
And maybe sent a notice to everybody else to say, hey.
They may have just kind of released it publicly and thus, you know, embarrassed the tar out of Lumen.
Maybe. Well, we'll see if that helps. Embarrassment doesn't necessarily change monetary policy within the organization.
No. Unfortunately, it isn't enough the time.
Because the contracts are still the contracts. And speaking of light poles, what is it with all the blue lights in Connecticut? Have you noticed all the white lights that are light posts on like the highways are turning blue?
Yeah, now that you mention it.
Their LEDs are failing blue.
What?
Yes. The white LED, when it fails blue.
What?
Yes. Somebody told you. Remember we had this big discussion maybe 10 years ago about how to save money by using like fluorescent bulbs, right? So we all ran out and bought our fluorescent bulbs that we couldn't dispose of because they would leak mercury into the ground if you dispose of your fluorescent. And everyone said, okay, well, let's go to LED. Those things are amazing. And LED technology is amazing, but they're failing blue. So just imagine that contract. I mean, it's bizarre. If you go down Route 9, and I saw it on 91, they're all failing blue. So how many state workers is it going to take to change those light bulbs? Are you reading about it?
I'm reading an article in the Pioneer Press up in Minnesota about streetlights in St. Paul turning blue because of this phenomenon.
Right. Some, and I'm sure they're Chinese LED bulbs.
Must be.
So, again, I don't know. I don't know. It just reminded me of the issue as we were driving home last night from West Hartford and hungry because we didn't get any bread. And we're seeing everything blue. I don't know. It's progress. It's progress, Dennis. Anything else you want to talk about as we wait for calls?
Oh, there's been a cyber attack over at Frontier Communications.
Oh, no.
Yeah, one of the ISPs right here in Connecticut.
Yep.
It looks like their websites, I think, and some of their other back-end services have been targeted. As of yesterday, I had heard about this through the tech press.
Yep.
You know, outfits like Security Week and other places are talking about it. And, I mean, in our business, it was the talk of the internet for a day or two.
Yep. But crickets around here?
Crickets in the local media.
Yeah.
Until, I guess, today, WFSB has reported on it.
I did see it.
There's nothing on it on Hartford Current website.
Hmm.
I don't know where the local reporters are on this.
Yeah.
I mean, wake up.
Yeah. Is it an attack? Like, are they ransomed? Are they any consumer data impacted? The back-end services, does that mean they can't use their email?
Well, I think their website was taken down for a while.
The website, okay.
Yeah.
So their host got impacted.
I'm just taking a look at what they reported as of yesterday. They have not said what was exposed, if anything.
That's kind of a common refrain we see, too.
Well, early on, in a lot of cases, you literally don't know what was exposed.
Right.
I mean, you kind of find that out later when you do your... when you do your forensic examination of the attack.
Yeah. Yeah, and customers are making the report, so who knows what they're doing on the Frontier site that brought it down. So I don't know, Dennis. Another day, another outage.
Yeah, but it's an outage here in one of Connecticut's ISPs, and none of the local press are interested. I don't understand.
I don't know.
I don't.
I have no answer for you. We'll step out for a quick break, get back to your calls. Four lines wide open on this Saturday morning. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. right, we are back. And we're just looking at an article about the smart locks. I kind of brought up that a little bit, beginning part of the show. And Chirp basically has an issue. This was something that was found out 3 years ago. But some smart locks controlled by Chirp system software can be remotely unlocked by strangers thanks to a critical security vulnerability. And basically, it's because they actually store the passwords and the private keys on the app, which you're not supposed to do. And 50,000 households could be impacted by this.
So it's in the software, not the hardware.
Correct.
Oh.
That's what I, that's what I'm seeing here. Unless I miss. Yeah, it's on the app. It's, it affects the Chirp's Android app.
Oh, okay.
So anybody that uses them and with the an API maintained by smart lock supplier August to remotely open someone's Chirp-powered lock and then unlock whatever door is supposed to be protected. Three-year-old thing. An engineer from Amazon Web Services reported it. It's they're just now starting to patch it quietly, right? Just when you think your lock is a lock, it's not a lock. When is lock not a lock? When it's not a lock.
We're on radio, so you didn't see my jaw hit the desk.
I know. Improperly stores credentials within the source code. These are hard-coded things. So we'll put the link up here to explain this to you. But the reason I bring it up, right, just when you think you've secured something with any kind of cloud-based or any kind of technology like this, I don't know. I don't assume it's locked. I mean, it's you can't, even though you'd hope it would be. This type of thing is probably not surprising to a lot of folks. CISA put a 9 out of 10 or warning on this thing as far as being severe.
Wow, that's high.
Yeah, so all I'm saying is don't assume anything anymore. If you really want to lock your door, just flip the deadbolt.
I think I'm going to stick with mine.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to your calls. You guys started calling in again. Let's go to Larry in Middlefield. He wants to talk about purple LEDs. Hey, Larry.
Good morning, all. Larry in Middlefield here.
How are you doing?
All right. Listening to your show on a Zenith Transoceanic built in the 50s, and I had to turn it off because I wanted to mention I do a lot of technology with electronics, YouTube video at night.
Yeah.
And there's a video on how the problems they had with LEDs, how they were made, and LEDs that make them white. Because the issue with LEDs were they were blue. And the materials they used, they had to do something different to make the LEDs a white LED, if you will.
Are you saying the default color of the LED is blue?
Well, I'm not. Don't quote me on it, but back in the day when they were trying to make LEDs white,
mm-hmm.
They were blue. And gotcha. They had to change the substance in the LED to be able to make an LED white. There was a video on it.
Okay.
But I forget where I saw it, but I'm always into this stuff and how LEDs are made and all that. Maybe it was technology connections. Maybe it was that guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's on YouTube. I like watching him with his videos.
Well, we'll check it out. I mean, you could be onto something. You would think, though, by now.
I am. That's why whatever is in there, that's why when they're failing, they're going back to blue.
Back to blue.
And ironically, in my travels the past few years, especially down in Maryland, I saw the streetlights every so often blue, and I didn't know why, but you mentioned it this morning because they're failing, and the streetlights are turning blue. So that's interesting.
It is. Thanks, Larry. Appreciate the insight. We'll try to do some research to see if the default color is a scenario. That makes sense.
I don't quote me on default color. It's the materials from back in the day to make an LED pure white.
Yep.
They had issues with the silicon and whatever they were using in there.
All right. Well, I think Dennis might have some answers.
I do. I found an article about it, and I did remember something about this
mm-hmm.
as you were talking. And yeah, there's a company, I believe in Japan, that was making blue LEDs, and they added something called yttrium aluminum garnet to those, and then it would make them white.
So they spray painted them white kind of thing?
Well, no, it's just something that they added to the element in there.
Right.
But it would, because they had all of these blue LEDs that they knew how to manufacture in large numbers.
Gotcha.
It was an easy way for them to make some of them white. So.
Gotcha. Kind of like how Rudolph worked when they put the covering over his nose, right? So that you couldn't see the red anymore. They literally produced the blue bulb and then just put like a film or some sort of additional.
Well, it was something that they had to integrate inside, but it was just an easy thing to do with what they already knew how to make.
But it's disappearing in some way. It must be like just deteriorating.
Yeah, it has to be.
That's very weird. Well, Larry, thank you for talking about it. We appreciate the call.
Yeah, well, it was an issue back in the day.
Still an issue now, my friend.
How to come up with this to make them white.
All right. Well, we appreciate your call, Larry. All right. All right, bye-bye. All right, guys, I want to thank you for joining us on this Saturday morning. I want to thank Carolyn for being back and producing. It's great to see her again. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything onto our Facebook page and over at X, and Dennis for doing his work. And you guys. I mean, without you guys, we're talking about our kids and our cats. Also, don't forget Bristol Brass and Wind, kind of a celebratory concert on Sunday, April 21st, right? At Bristol Eastern at 3 o'clock. To celebrate the career of Mr. Rich Theriault.
And remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you next Saturday.